Harold Safe Garden Board, and I think you've got Mark McNeill to talk to that.
Chairman, you've got Assurance for Quality.
Oh, sorry. Assurance for Quality. Which is Mark. Sorry, Mark.
Chairman, I would just also mention that there's been two additional presentations circulated around, rather than do a PowerPoint, that there are paper copies of the Carford Avenue and the Gordon CPC inspection facilities that are available for members.
Thank you, Councillor Middleton. In terms of item 5, assuring quality, what's happening across our social care and the internal care provision cited, there are two presentation documents that people should have cited. And my two colleagues here, both Martin Arthur and Darren Perkins, will just give us a brief update against those presentations. But I also know, Councillor Middleton, that obviously you've already cited there have been discussions outside of schools, which have been incredibly useful in terms of picking up robust conversations about work that's going on across the service. I'm going to take it as read that people have had opportunity to read the report from the Director of Adult Social Care in terms of this item, and refer to, I think it's page 3, at the bottom where it talks about actions to prevent. A couple of points there. First and foremost, and probably really important, because the Care Quality Commission, our regulator, is important to both be responsive and engaged in the issues that they discuss when they look at these particular establishments. That we've provided a revised care, a goal plan documentation, but importantly, a detailed recovery plan has been submitted to CQC, and they will look at that robustly to ensure that our actions are in place and we are effective in ensuring the quality of the service and provision in those particular establishments. I think secondly, it's already been mentioned, I think we're working to support colleagues from health in terms of the input into some of the work that we're doing within those homes, particularly areas where we need clinical expertise, and that's been really welcomed. Very supportive in terms of ensuring that we maintain and act robustly to some of the challenges that we face within those services. But what I would say, and if Carol's here, she should be saying the same as we are on it. We are looking at the issues of concern across those establishments, and both Martin and Darren will just briefly touch on some of the key areas that we've been working on and be hoping to keep the scrutiny committee up to date. Martin.
Yeah, thank you very much. So just to build on some of the items that Ms. Mark has mentioned, and I'll refer later to my presentation slides about the reviews. As members and colleagues will know, the key inspection visit was back in March 2019, and the report was published approximately 6 weeks after that. And overall, Holmes rated by CQC as requires improvement. It was actually quite an improvement in three areas of key lines of inquiry, but rated good in two. Rated good in the line of inquiry and caring, and good in relation to responsive and how things were responding to. The main issue for us as department was prior to this inspection, there was no concerns that were identified by managers prior to the visit. So a lot of work has been undertaken, and there's been quite a few areas that have required improvements for us. We've had some inconsistencies in recording, lack of risk assessments, poor medication processes, infection control processes were not robust, staff records were not complete, training wasn't up to date, and staff supervision and appraisal was not up to date. Obviously, with this news, the management was looked at, and as I said, I sit before you now as the new interim service manager for enablement services, taking an overview of all three about the enablement services. We have a new interim manager at the Gouldings who's joined us. He's got some substantial enablement experience, but also some substantial recovery experience, and he's helped us and supported us to gather quite a robust recovery plan that we've sent to CQC. Also, Carol has engaged the assistance of an external quality and compliance consultant who is a former CQC inspector, and she's also working with the three services now to ensure that we do remain compliant in all areas. The slides then go on to talk about some detail in regarding to risk assessments and care plans. Where we've introduced a risk assessment toolkit. We've introduced a risk of care plan documents that our staff can follow as a good practice guide. We've also appointed two new senior support workers that will also be supporting with the implementation of care documentation. And quite importantly, care documentation is personalised to the people using the services, because it's really important that we have people working directly with them, so the services delivered are that for them and actually tailored to meet their needs. And we've also introduced weekly auditing schedules, and that's across the whole of the home. So we do a monthly group manager's audit, and then a registered manager that does weekly audits on things like medication, infection control, on care plans, etc., etc. So we have a quite a robust process to ensure that we can improve. We've gone through a process of updating staff training. Our colleagues in learning development were very supportive in that, and we were able to deliver within about 3 to 4 weeks from the inspection a full suite of training, both online and face to face, to give all of the staff the underpinning knowledge they need to be able to perform their jobs confidently and competently. But we still have some further work to do. We are now reporting all of the actions that we take into our service board, which Carol and Mark chair. So there is now departmental governance in relation to how we're improving. We're continuing with our quality and compliance inspector to undertake regular themed audits to make sure we're on top of our game and delivering what we say we're going to deliver. I mentioned about the group manager audits. And we're also reviewing our staffing structures to make sure that we've got the right people in the right place and that they're doing the right thing. So that really concludes my whistle-stop tour of end recovery, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
I'll just move on to Darren for the final piece, and then if it's okay, Shelley, you can
So, Martin and I are following a fairly similar format. There are a number of things across the two homes which pick up similar issues. The previous inspection was in 2018. There were some issues noted then. So it was re-inspected in 2019, raises requiring improvement across four key lines of inquiry. The good rating responsive issues requiring improvement were so the performance of staff, although bearing in mind it's a small home, so the staff on this board have only two issues related to two particular members of staff, we're not talking about a large cohort. Some of the inconsistencies in recording, that's with regard to recording of body maps, so we've put some stuff in place to make sure that that's tighter. Stuff around medication temperatures, the infection control and respect was in place, and some issues around the landlord performance, which we're picking up with the landlord. And then the issue that we have ourselves, our own internal audit, not picking up some of these things. So the good things are part of that. The manager is considered to be responsive, all the MCA best interest stuff is in place. People living in the home are getting out and about and having quite active lives. The support plans are considered to be of good quality. Good feedback from relatives and accessible information support plans. So a lot of the stuff required to run a home to good standard is all in place. With regard to the performance of the staff, there was a particular issue with regard to one person providing inappropriate support for somebody. That was picked up and evaded and dismissed. The other person was invited to the meeting and actually handed the notices, so that's been dealt with. So further actions, the staff performance now incorporates within the group manager audit procedure, and we'll ensure there's a response as soon as anything's picked up. Regular meetings are arranged with HR to ensure that we address issues in a timely fashion, and a comprehensive staff training plans in place as discussed with the members of staff during supervision. I don't think they were pretty sure that the training bed trips was pretty much up together with the hub, but possibly one or two small gaps. Inconsistencies on recordings. So the managers now scrutinise all recordings. It's quite easy to do in such a small, there's still plenty to do, but in such a small home, it's fairly easy to regularly look at, you know, what staff are writing down, how they're going about it. So that's happening regularly. And similar to Martin was saying, that in the themed audits, we'll be looking at particular areas of weakness and making sure that they are strengthened. And the group manager will be undertaking random small checks as she visits. So, as well as the regular stuff that's scheduled, the group manager and myself at different times will be doing all this, so we'll be following up all these things. Stuff around the fridge temperatures and labelling, that's being factored in regularly in the weekly and daily checks as people are carrying out medication reviews. Again, the group manager continuing to follow up in the monthly audits. The infection control taking place and staff know that's required. The Legionella testing has been completed. There is still a symptom put in, so that will have to be repeated because it's an extension of the system. And we're having conversations with the landlord about a couple of things that have been picked up since they came. So these aren't things that they haven't done, they've been picked up since. One of them was a separate washing arrangement. They ordered the sink that would be put in forthwith. The other thing which I need to speak to them further about is the access to the garden, because the people who live there have some physical disabilities and the arrangement at the moment means that it precludes them from getting the garden easily. And the other thing we're doing, we are looking at our own internal audit arrangements. We're sitting down with internal with our own in-house audit team to actually have a look at the tool that we use.
Thank you. Okay, that concludes our presentation. I'd like to open up the question.
Thank you very much. Right, we've got John, and then we've got Joanna.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chairman. I have a couple of questions. First of all, the Gouldings is in my area. And what I would like to know is, before the inspection, did you actually have any idea that they may, these items would come out as requiring improvements? You know, let me ask you the second one then. I had a phone call from a resident who said that she looks forward to her husband being able to go up to the Gouldings for daycare. Now, seems to be trouble over vehicles because they've got a vehicle which was scrapped. They were given an old vehicle from the Outback Club. I understand that money had been allocated for a new vehicle for the Gouldings as well as the Outback Club. Nobody seems to know when this thing will be available. The vehicle they got from the Outback Club has got a tail lift because this gentleman needs a wheelchair, but it was condemned, the lift was condemned, so he can't get there now, or wasn't able to. They were talking about borrowing one from someone else, but I'm not sure how that came about. But it seemed to me that there's money available for a new vehicle, and I understand it takes a period of time for a vehicle. You have to buy a van and then you have to have it converted to take seats and things like that. And I just wondered how much of an urgency as money has been allocated of getting this done so that people with wheelchairs can actually access the Gouldings. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, John.
Thank you for that, Rob. First question being, did we have an idea that the Gouldings would return requires improvement rating for inspection? No, we didn't. Issues haven't been escalated through to the department and through to the service boards unknown. Hence we've had to do a lot of recovery work since. The second point about the vehicle, and I do know, Councillor, that you have been in touch with Holden and maybe the interim manager had a conversation. We have had money allocated for the vehicle. The leading time to get the vehicle equipped, the new vehicle, has taken a lot longer than what we'd hoped. But there is now a temporary vehicle up at the Adelaide that's wheelchair accessible to be able to get people in and out. And we know that other options are being looked at, we've got a taxi, wheelchair taxi transport for people as well. So we have got a temporary arrangement.
So this is another one that's come from the Adelaide, is it?
It's not, no, it's another one that's in our general fleet of vehicles. Yeah, it's an accessible vehicle that was actually coming to the community service, but we've repositioned it at the buildings because they have much greater need. So we have got the facility to get people around. It's not ideal because it's not a multi-occupant vehicle. But the leaving time for the new vehicle has taken time, which is a brand new vehicle. We will be getting the buildings as we have as with the Adelaide.
Lovely, thank you very much.
Thank you, Joanne.
Thank you. I've just got a couple of questions. So this report is remarkably similar to other reports we've seen relating to previous CQC inspections of learning disability homes. And there are some themes that are evident that we discussed before. So my question is, how do you ensure that there's learning not just in the one home, but spread across all of the council provided homes? And my question is, how are you going to ensure sustainability? So you've got an external consultant in, which will fix the immediate issues, but are you doing any work into how these issues have arisen in the first place and how they're kind of, there's a theme throughout a lot of the CQC reports, there are similar issues in a lot of the homes. And how are you, sorry, there's another one. How are you going to support staff? Because again, it's very easy to blame staff. You need to look at what's led to the issues. I think it goes deeper than just individual staff. There are governance issues, clearly, within some of the learning disability homes and within the buildings as well.
I hope I captured it all, so please, if you can have it. But we talk about the similar themes from learning disability homes and sharing the learning. I think as probably many members and colleagues will know that learning disability homes over the years have had some recovery work to do themselves. And I think it's fair to say that that recovery and that learning hasn't moved into the ideal services until this point. We are working much more closely together. So our registered managers are meeting with the learning disability home registered managers to share best practice. We have the same quality assurance process now. It's definitely an agenda item in the Social Service Board for ongoing departmental governance that Mark and Carol and Laura are overseeing as well. Laura is working with us in her partnerships and commissioning perspective, as she would with any independent sector home that requires improvement. So again, we are following very much the same process and the same rules as our external partners do. So this is now how we share and learning. It's really unfortunate that our approach wasn't as good as before the inspection, but we certainly have caught up since. Sustainability, we have got the external consultant who's also working with us on some development workshops because we know full well, and as you did summarise as well, that it's not just about saying to the staff they're not able to do it. We have to say these are the deficits, but these are the workshops in order to upskill you and give you the additional development need in order to maintain good compliant processes, good compliant reporting going forward. So that, with the development workshops, is how we're going to maintain our on the journey to getting good ratings throughout the service. Supporting the staff in the summary and certainly in the inspection report, up until this point, the staff haven't been getting regular support, haven't been getting regular supervision and appraisal, but that has changed. So we are supporting the staff on a one-to-one and individual basis to make sure we listen to what they've got to say. And we're also using them to give us the ideas of how things can be improved, because sometimes we can't see the obvious, but they can, because they work in it day in and day out, and we're very much reliant on them working with us. Our two new senior support workers have come from the existing staff base within the buildings, so we have got people that are at the level we need them to be at, and we can grow them to, into different jobs. So that's again how we're supporting the staff. Can that cover all your points?
Yes, thank
you. Just to add to that, in terms of oversight, then it's my role as assistant director, also accounts as that's my role as assistant director. Both at the service group and the leadership group, we have open discussions, also scrutinise the data relating to any one of these homes in terms of training, development, challenges around our regulatory requirements, ensure we are compliant, and where we are lacking, actually we're on it. We're actually working with both Martin and Derek to ensure those staff are supported and actually maintain the quality and the provision. And I think, as has been mentioned in terms of the inspection, one of the things that we're particularly strong at, which is really reassuring, I think, certainly for myself and Councillor Roberts, is that the caring element is absolutely there in terms of people who do want to care and deliver the best they can for the people in those establishments.
Rodney. Thank you, Chairman. I might be repeating what Jo said a bit, but she's right. The staff matter. They're the ones at the coal face. And you get more out of staff if you talk to them and get stuff out of them. I think in today's society, that's gone out the window, because it seems to me in some cases that staff don't matter. The other thing what I would like to ask you is, how often are the homes inspected, on a regular basis, before you had the shock of the CQC inspection? Seems to me a little bit odd, the open stable door after yours is bolted. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Robin.
But I would say that what you are doing is very good.
I did a comment to the latter statement. There's no response to that, really. But yes, we haven't got things in place prior to inspection.
Right.
But in answer to the question, how often are we inspected? There's a group manager audit monthly, and there's themed audits on a weekly basis on various areas. So certainly, as we move into the next CQC inspection, we will be expecting a better rating.
I apologise for that bit about the regulations of the inspection. What I was saying, how often were they inspected before the CQC inspection? Was it a monthly or whatever it was? Is that the same?
No, it wasn't.
Ah, that's what I'm getting at.
It wasn't. Yeah. Issues were escalating prior to the inspection, and the audit routine was nowhere near as robust as it should have been. Okay. Hence, we've got new management arrangements now with a different approach to make sure that doesn't happen again.
Thank you.
I think just to answer that, Chair, I think we're very clear, and we're hearing absolutely right at the top that we're open. There's been management failure, and that's the reason why we find ourselves in the position we found ourselves with the inspections that have been carried out, identified those issues. But what we have done is effectively and robustly looked at those issues and been open and honest to change and ensure that we do maintain the quality provision for the people on this island who come to those establishments.
Thank you. Michael.
I've got a point and then a question. Following on, I think, from Rodney and Joanna, we should be getting our own housing in order. We, as authority, would be very critical if it's within the private sector or in the voluntary sector, and we'd be signing them. And I think, we can't keep our own housing report. We have to be the benchmark. We have to be higher than others if we're going to be critical of other providers. So I think we really do need to make sure we get our house in order within that. It shouldn't have been a surprise within that. We should have actually known. We need to get the governance right now. Question or point is about the voice of the person. It's the end user, the residents, the people we care for, the vulnerable who are in our care, and about their voice and their expectations. Are we not working on raising their expectations to get much better? Because my observation of a lot of these services is people are grateful for what they get, and they don't actually feel they can complain the lack of use of a garden or the lack of use of a sink, because they're frightened of losing what they've got, and their families are frightened of losing what they've got. How do we get their aspirations and expectations higher so they're saying this is not good enough? Because I think on this island, case after case, where our vulnerable put up with shit, and they shouldn't. They should be, and we should work on their aspirations to expect better of that. And also, where's your work with them and their families so they're more critical, that they put in more complaints if they're not getting the service? Because we do need to raise their aspiration.
Thank you for that point, Michael. In terms of what is called person centeredness that we provide for all individuals within our care, that happens on many different levels. Certainly on the one-to-one we've mentioned, individual hands-on carers working with people in those establishments, talking with them, understanding their issues on a daily basis, and working with them to voice any concerns about care received or what's been going on. We also have other staff that support those staff, also pick up those issues and work with those individuals and their families who visit those establishments to ensure that not only do we raise expectations, but we also listen and hear to the issues and try to support them in terms of that, the way in which we deliver care. And I think it's all cited. CQC as a regulator coming in cited the quality of the care provision, the hands-on care is there, and it isn't just about doing to, it's also about engaging within the issues for them on an individual basis. But also, as part of our regime as an organisation, when we review individuals, that review includes not just the individual but family members and those that aren't hands-on care, to understand what's going on for them and what should we do to support them and help them and listen to them. And I also am very clear that within these establishments there are user groups and engagement with families that come into those organisations to work with them and ensure that their issues are heard and listened to. But it doesn't distract, or I suppose distract us from the very issue that you're raising, Councillor, which is raising the expectations of people generally across the population and across the island in terms of what they should expect to receive care services, and ensuring that we deliver the best we can deliver within the resources we have within our gift to deliver that quality service. And I, Carol and other colleagues, and all my team and people at the front line that we work with and communicate with, have an actual appetite to deliver that. But we should never stop working with individuals to maintain that appetite and ensure we really truly deliver that quality. That's never far from me, it's never far from Carol, it's never far from anyone that I know across the directorate that works within our social care not to deliver the very best. So we are as frustrated, if I can say, as officers, as you are hearing that there's been a management failure and we should work harder and better and stronger to make a difference. And both Martin and Darren, with their leadership, working with those environments and others with whom we've engaged with, will work hard to ensure that we don't find ourselves in this position. We don't want to find ourselves in this position. For the very point you've raised, Councillor, which is our independent sector providers out there look to us. Look to us in terms of setting the standard. So, we have to work hard to maintain that standard. Where we've fallen pick ourselves up and actually put this right. Thank you.
I think you raise a very good point, particularly I think we need to think quite carefully about how we can take the auditing to the next step, certainly from the learned disability access. The point you've made very well is obviously what we want to hear is the voice of the people living there. In some of these homes, that is an incredibly tricky thing to do because of the level of disability. So I think we need to think about how we incorporate into the audit regime that we have a lived experience, so that perhaps somebody who has lived in that type of arrangement but is more verbal and more able to raise some of these issues where they would have no concern saying anything, can somehow have been involved in that process. So I think that's something that we can talk to our audit colleagues about and look to do smarter than we have in the past. So thanks for raising that.
Bye. Tim, just one quick question.
I hear what you're saying about what you're trying to do and what the best thing you're looking to do for everybody. But it's the phrase setting the standard. But the people you deal with, do they know what the standard is? Is there a document saying this is the minimum? This is what you should get, this is what, and everything else. At the moment, you're setting the standard for the individuals. But when people come in, if it's not to them, it's to their relations, and therefore they can say, this is what we expect, and if you don't get to that, they complain. But then obviously, I know you can't say, we've got to be above that. It can't be a minimum level, it's got to be a reasonably decent level, which you can tell people, and they can judge you against it. Because at the moment, they don't know what they're judging you against because you set the judgment.
We've got to a point that we know that, and I'm sure some of the members are in the areas where our in-house services are, they do have good community reputations. Feedback that we receive from our in-house services, and certainly from the short-term reactive book bonds, is always positive. So I think people are getting a good service, and they tell us that, and their relatives tell us that. What we have got is robust processes in place in relation to documentation, recording, staff management, but certainly the buildings was rated good for caring, and the responsiveness and the caringness of the staff is at a really good standard, as rated by CQC, and we know that. I think what we've got to do better is, like Councillor Hughes summarised, is actually raising people's expectations so they absolutely know that this is good, but actually I don't know what they stand in and what that would look like. So I still think we've got some work to do.
Just very, very simple. I understand all that, because given that what we term as good to the patient is very
mechanism. I was going to respond to that, because I think, first of all, there's a general understanding. People, let's assume some people can get on the internet. They can go to the Care Quality Commission, they can look at the standards required in terms of doing with the key lines of inquiry for those who have that technical knowledge to understand that. I think it's a piece of work that we should pick up within the service in terms of finding a way of ensuring that people have a very straightforward tool in which they can measure have we done it for them in terms of the regulatory standards. So I think it's a really helpful point and something we can take away. It's not just part of audit, but I think it's a piece of work we do with both individuals, people in receipt of service, but also families as well. So there's a shared expectation there, which would be very, very useful. So thank you, Councillor.
Right. John, make sure it's really quick, because we need to move on.
Chairman. Sorry.
Here you say that under summary of key things and deficits, all have been or aren't being rectified. Are you saying that all these problems, the records, the staff training, and everything is all right, so if the CQC came in tomorrow, they would find a large difference?
Yes, they would. Yeah, there would be a vast difference if they were to come in tomorrow and look. Not everything's completed. We've set some tasks for the end of July to see if you see are aware of that. But if they were to come in August, we would be expecting a much better writing.
So, Chairman, is it possible that when it's done, that we can see a follow-up report to see the...
We will do, John. We will have an informed briefing on that. So I think we can wrap this item up by saying that it is extremely disappointing that we have yet again care homes rated as so poorly. It's very frustrating that the procedures were in place but not being implemented through the management chain. But I think it's fair to say that it's impressive with the speed and the thoroughness that you've stepped on these issues. I think we need to thank Caroline yourselves for your openness and forthrightness in airing these problems at an informal meeting almost immediately, but your action in dealing with this was even quicker than that. And I think that we probably need to record that we request that the cabinet member ensure that you have sufficient resources and support to enable you to do your job thoroughly and to make sure that the management of the care homes and the voice of the people that live in there, whether they can speak or not, whether we extract how they feel and raise our aspirations as council living there, requested. So thank you very much, gentlemen.